You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Very welcome back to the programme. We're here with you until 12 noon. It's Morning Focus here on Clare FM. Mary, thank you very much for coming back to us. I'll find out what I can for you. This is in relation to the payment of presiding officers and polling clerks for the election. I will get back to you. I'll ask the question today and see what happens thereafter, but I'll try my very best for you to find out more details. Now, I want to move on, and we last heard from my next guest on this programme in July of this year. Áine Morgan is from Loughrea, and she was diagnosed in recent years with terminal cervical cancer, but now she and others are making calls on the government to further open up access to a cancer drug, which has led to some very positive results for some of those who are receiving it. The drug in question is pembrolizumab, or Pembro, and it's been offered by the state to the women affected by the cervical check crisis, but not to some others who would benefit from this treatment as well. A dose of the drug every 3 weeks, I understand, costs €8,500. Áine Morgan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
I'm good, and thanks for joining us. Far more importantly, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Gavin. Holding my own at the moment, which
good.
Is fantastic.
Absolutely, because as we heard from, and that the podcast is there for people who want to say it, but you've been up and down in terms of health over recent years, but I'm delighted to hear that. And I wish you obviously all the best going forward. But now, I suppose, maybe because the health is as it is, you have the energy and the time, and you're really pushing this campaign to open up access to what I'm going to call Pembro from here on out, its short-term name. Can you tell me about it, what it is, and why it's so important?
It's an immunotherapy drug that actually Vicky had started taking a couple of months back. I think she's on her 11th dose at the moment. But she has seen over a 50% reduction in tumours, which is absolutely fantastic. Now, it works with your own immune system, and the side effects are nowhere near as harsh as radiotherapy or chemotherapy. So, I mean, it's an option for those of us that don't have any other option out there as such, you know.
Absolutely. And it's delivering very positive results for her and for others as well. I mean, I've seen other people on social media talking about this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's delivering great results at the moment. And, I mean, you know, when it's available to someone out there, you know, you want to have an option, you know. I suppose it'll give us hope to have that option there as well, you know.
Sure. And as I mentioned in the introduction, it has been made available by the state, and the costs are being covered to those who are affected by the cervical check crisis. And you and I spoke about this in July, that's how it should be, and you know, if they are clinically suitable. But there are others, including yourself, to whom it could make a difference, but it's not being paid for. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we fall outside of the 2-to-1 screening group, we have to pay for this privately, whereas the screening group, obviously, that's covered by the state because of all the failures in the cervical check crisis. But for people like myself, and, you know, there's other women in my boat as well, we have to try and fund this privately, and at cost, obviously, of €8,500 every 3 weeks. It's an insane amount of money to be trying either raising money for, or, you know, it's not sustainable. We can't do it. And, you know, and really the government cannot give to one and not give to another. We're just looking for equality, you know, just treat us fairly, treat us all the same.
And in terms of your own situation, you were telling me before we came on air, you haven't started the drug yet, but you will be soon.
I will be soon, possibly after Christmas, just with my last bout of radiotherapy. You have to, I suppose, wait a certain length of time before restarting treatment. And unfortunately, I've had horrendous side effects. So I have to wait that little bit longer just to get the body, I suppose,
to be ready for it or whatever.
Ever so slightly. Yeah.
And can I ask you, how hard is it to pay for it? I mean, you can pay for, I don't know how many, you don't have to give me any details you don't want to, but you can pay for it for so long, but only for so long, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we've raised in excess of €60,000. And I mean, while that is a phenomenal sum of money, I think that will just about pay for, I think it's about 7 rounds of this drug. So, you know, that just puts it into perspective, you know, as I said, it's a huge amount of money, but it won't last all that long, you know.
Yeah. Now, there is a report this morning in the Irish Independent. Kevin Doyle, their political group editor, is reporting that Pembro will be made more widely available. Now, this hasn't been confirmed. This is under the understanding of the paper, and I know you're aware of this, Sonia. They say that the health minister is on the verge of a major announcement, and they go through the details of it, and that the move to open up access to Pembro will form part of the overall national effort to effectively eradicate cervical cancer. This must give you fantastic hope, I would have thought.
It is. I mean, it's a great step in the right direction. But once they act on it now, you know, they can't leave this for months and months and months, and they can't be in discussions for that length of time because, you know, some of us really don't have that much time to play with. So they need to act really, really quickly on this. They need to act now, you know.
Okay. Stay with us, Sonia. We're joined on the line as well this morning by Tipperary Labour TD Deputy Alan Kelly, who's been part of this deputy campaign. Deputy Kelly, good morning to you.
Morning.
And thank you very much for joining us. What do you make, in a political sense, of that report in the Independent this morning? Again, it sounds quite positive.
Yeah, Simon Harris rang me up that day. I started this issue a few weeks ago. I was talking to Vicky Phelan, and I actually just had this issue in my head about the fact that there were so many people contacting me and looking for access to Pembroke, and yet Vicky was getting it for free. I'm very close with Vicky. I've worked very closely with her since the cervical cancer crisis actually blew up. She's an amazing woman, probably the most inspirational woman I've ever met. And but there was an inequity which I just wasn't happy with. So I raised it in the Dáil, and subsequently the following week I raised it in committee. I spoke to Simon Harris and I told him that this wasn't going to go away. And subsequent to that, myself and thankfully Anya and Vicky and Professor Michael Barry and Dr. Finlay, who was prescribing the drug, went on Clareburn Live last Monday night, and it's all kind of pushed on since then. Simon Harrison rang me over the weekend, told me what you're hearing in the paper, seeing in the papers today and yesterday, that he's looking at a managed access scheme for Pembroke for all other cervical cancer sufferers like Anya, and that it'll be free for them as well, as long as the clinicians who are treating them are basically saying that these women need to be put on it. But we're not there yet, and this is the most important thing. We're not there yet, and time is of the essence. I've been contacted by so many different families in relation to this. There is a deep inequity here. We need for the Minister to have the managed access scheme negotiated with the drug company. It's manufactured here in Ireland. It's manufactured in Carlow, I imagine. And we need him to set out the timelines when Anya and everyone else can get this drug for free.
Can I ask you then, in terms of the timelines, I had read a statement that the HSE issued last week, and they talked about Pembro being submitted to a European Medicines Agency for licensing for the treatment of cervical cancer in the future, and they said that on that basis it couldn't yet be considered for national reimbursement. So the question, you talk about timeline, and I think it is the most important matter, Deputy Kelly. If that process is to happen, then while the right noises are being made, could it be the case that maybe there will still be a wait for Anya and others in her situation?
I'm sorry, no, there's feedback.
Sorry, I'll see if we can maybe fix the feedback there on that one. But the question, Deputy Kelly, that I was asking, and I hope maybe you can hear us, is to, in terms of the timelines, has Minister Harris given you any indication on how long this may take?
Yeah, so effectively, this is outside that process. So it would take about 3 to 4 years, to be honest with you. So this is outside of that process. You see, what's happened here is the government made a decision as part of the redress scheme for all women, the 2-to-1 women affected by cervical cancer scandal, they made a decision to give them everything that they required from a redress point of view. And one of that was access to trial drugs or drugs that are off license. And in this scenario, they give access to Pembro. So in doing so, they went outside of the regulatory process. Because they've done that for these women, you can't treat two women differently in this country. You can't treat one woman and say you get access to the drug and another woman like Anya you won't. So that's the inequity that I have been driving home and pointing out now for some time. So it is outside of that regulatory process and timeline. So I expect that in the coming weeks, and I expect an announcement this week from the Minister, following on the pressure that I kicked off in the Dáil, following on the support of Vicky Phelan, following on the fact that Anya has gone very public on her story, I expect that there will be an announcement this week, and I expect access to Pembroke to be available to many women who require it in this country in the coming weeks before Christmas.
Okay, well, hopefully it'll be that case. I think Vicky Phelan is on the line now. Vicky, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us. We've been speaking with Anya, and I know you've heard some of what Deputy Kelly had to say there at the end of that one. You are receiving this drug, as we have discussed already, and you've spoken quite publicly of the benefits of it. It needs to be, in your view, and in the view of I would imagine most people listening to this, it needs to be opened up now to those who need it, basically.
Yes, it does, absolutely. I mean, I've been talking to Alan over the last, you know, few months. Alan has seen the difference in me, to be honest, since he saw me at the PEC committee back in May. You know, I mean, I've been consistently feeling better and looking better over the last few months. I have a quality of life, to be honest, that I would not have on chemotherapy. I mean, to be honest, most of the time I don't even remember that I have cancer. I mean, that's some feat to achieve when you're in a situation like mine with terminal cancer. I mean, I have a small amount of pain, but it's nothing that I can't live with. You know, I'm not at home in bed. I haven't lost my hair. I'm not nauseous. You know, I have treatment every 3 weeks, and I'm able to maintain my quality of life as if I'd never had cancer. So at the same time, you know, I have to say that, you know, this is not going to work for all women, but the thing is, what women need to be given is hope, you know, hope that this may work. Because, you know, at the end of the day, what you have to remember is that cervical cancer is not curable. There is nothing that will cure this cancer when you get to an advanced stage of the disease like I have. So if you can get to a situation where you can get onto a drug that will extend your life by another number of years with a quality of life like I have, well, you know, isn't that just fantastic?
And do you mind me asking?
It may cure some people, but you just don't know until you take the test for the drug.
That's what I was going to ask, Vicky. I mean, what does this mean in terms, I mean, you've outlined it very well in terms of quality of life. Will it prolong the life in some cases too?
Absolutely. I mean, in my case, so I tested, you can take a test to see, I mean, the beauty of this drug and drugs like it is they're targeted. You know, chemotherapy is not a targeted therapy. It does work for some people, but in the vast majority of cases it doesn't. And you go through all of that hell, really, and it is hell, I've done it, and it may not work for you. But this drug is targeted, which means that you can have a test taken. You send off a tissue sample of your tumour. They tell you whether or not you have a high percentage that this will respond. In my case, I tested between 55 and 75%. I know another girl who's on this drug at the moment, but it's not being paid for her because she's not one of the 221. Her name is Alice, and I can say her name because she has gone public. She's 25 years of age, and she tested up to 90%, which means it will probably work possibly better for her than it does for me. But for me, you know, I'm looking for extra time with my kids, and this drug is buying it for me at the moment. And, you know, I'm always looking ahead to the next drug in case this stops working. But this is buying me time, and it's quality of time that I have with my family.
And from your dealings with Minister Harris, are you confident that he is committed to doing the right thing?
Yes, I am, I have to say. I've had great dealings with Simon Harris since the very beginning of this scandal back at the end of April. I'm on the phone to him on a regular basis, and I feel that, you know, he has admitted to making mistakes over the controversy since it has happened. So, you know, he at least he's able to own up when something has been done that he has made mistakes. And I think he knows how serious this is at the moment, that he's not going to approve a managed access program to this drug for all women unless he believes that that is going to happen. And I mean, at the end of the day, there is going to be push from myself, from Alan Kelly, from other women like Anya and Alice and other ladies who have been in contact with myself who want to get access to this drug. So, you know, he knows we won't go away, basically.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
And Anya is still on the line as well. Anya, there are a lot of women, or do we know how many who could benefit from this? I mean, you're an example, and you've put yourself forward as a public example, and well done to you for doing that. But you're far from the only one, is I suppose the point I'm making.
No, there is. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I think there's between 40 and 50. So, I mean, it's not a massive number either. So, you know, it is manageable for government, you know.
Yeah, in that when you consider the context of their finances and their income, 8,500 euro 3 weeks for 50 or whatever it may be, even if it's a lot more than that, it's still only a relatively small percentage. I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The tenor of our conversation has changed by virtue of these reports, but it must be, again, encouraging on you.
It is encouraging, but no more than, you know, Minister Kelly said, they need to act on this very, very quickly because, you know, discussions cannot go on for months and months and months because some of these ladies out there don't have that time. So, as I said,
we need to get it out and about and done and ready now, and for people to be able to get onto that managed access programme.
And that, and that can happen, Deputy Kelly? This can be moved quite quickly, Alan? I think Deputy Kelly...
I think this can happen very quickly. I spoke to Simon Harris over the weekend. When I raised this in the Dáilín and the Health Committee, everybody immediately saw and wants to point to the distinction between Vicky's case and Áine's case. Like, everybody saw that this, in a modern Irish society, this inequity can't continue. So what I expect to happen is that we have a meeting in Leinster House on Wednesday night, which Vicky and Áine are coming to, and many other people as well, and Dr. Finlay. It's on at 5 to 7 o'clock. If anyone out there listens to your show, and anybody who feels they would, you know, would, it would be good for them to hear the stories, please come along, just send my office a message. I expect what's going to happen is that the negotiations with the company will be concluded in the coming week or so, and that a managed access scheme will be put in place, and all women who need this, whose clinicians are advocating for it, will get access to Pound Pembroke in the coming weeks. And for me, that's only right. For me, that's equity. For me, this is fair. And really, I suppose, coming up to Christmas, you know, it's a good Christmas present for Áine and for many other women who are affected, and it's what they wanted. And being honest with you, when I took on this, I didn't know Áine. I knew of her case because I know some people who live near her, they're friends of mine. But for me, getting access to the stroke, a quality of life, potentially extending women's lives, this is what it was all about. And I want to thank Áine and Vicky for working with me over the last few weeks, and we will get there. However, we're not there yet. The coming couple of weeks are very important, but I believe we will get there.
Okay, well, fingers crossed that turns out to be the case. And I don't want to put it in terms, Áine, of a Christmas gift or whatever, although I do understand completely why it will be viewed that way, but it's so important for you and for others. But again, that quick resolution is paramount.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, I have a good feeling, but I obviously don't want to get ahead of myself as well, you know, until it's actually set in stone. You know, I won't believe it's there, but I do think it's a fantastic step in the right direction. Yeah. And I reckon we will get this sorted sooner rather than later, which is fantastic.
And fingers crossed that indeed will be the case. And I'm getting a lot of messages which are giving support to you and to the other women affected by this and others as well, Vicky Phelan, to finish with yourself, congratulating and thanking you, to be blunt, in terms of putting others first and advocating on behalf of others when you have every right but to go and look after you and for your family as well. It's been some year, obviously, for Vicky Phelan.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, if you had told me, you know, 9 months ago that, you know, all of this would have happened, I wouldn't believe you, to be honest. I mean, at the beginning of January, I really was facing death, to be honest. I really thought I wouldn't be here at this time of the year. So, I mean, to be here for me is just fantastic. And because it's, you know, I know what that means to other women, there's no way I could sit back and just not, you know, and have other women, you know, with the same cancer like Áine and Tracy. And you see, all of these women are contacting me on a daily basis. I could not, you know, just have it on my conscience that I'm getting this drug and they're not. So I was more than happy to push for this with Alan Kelly. And, you know, for me, this is a fantastic Christmas present to be able to give, you know, the hope of life to other women. I feel great about that.
Well, look, I can only commend you for your efforts, and I wish you continued good fortune and as good health as is possible, shall we say, going forward to both yourself and to Áine. Thank you very much, one and all, for joining us in the programme this morning. That's Vicky Phelan there. And before that, you heard from Áine Morgan and from Labour TD Alan Kelly as well. It's a story we'll follow quite closely going forward, but good to hear of some positive developments. You're listening to Morning Focus here on Clare FM. And when we're back in a couple of minutes' time, we're going to remember the late US President George Bush, not his political achievements, immense as they were, of course, but rather some personal memories of the man himself.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.